welcome to episode 8 of Two Geeks M2C. My name is Kevin.
I'm in transition, Simon.
Bob, the former intern.
Former intern?
I want to move up. What do you want?
I think in moving up, it means you would have to get your own mic finally, wouldn't it?
That would be it, yeah.
I'll make you a deal.
You're retaining them.
You get the intern until you get a mic.
Okay.
Good. So back to the intern. You can go back
to
the quest.
So, Simon, why are you in transition?
Well, because I'm kind of cold and I can't seem to talk. So I'm in transition to being back to my normal self.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about getting a boob job.
So you're like pseudo-Simon.
I am pseudo-Simon tonight. I apologize to our wonderful listeners.
I'm kind of wiped out myself.
Well, why is that, Kevin?
Well, because on the weekend we had the whole Schuster Awards for Canadian comic book creators.
Does that mean I'm the only one of us three that's healthy?
Define healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Can you break that down for us?
You're in mind and body?
Okay, then no, you're not.
So what happened to the Schuster Awards, Kev?
Well, it was a pretty cool night. Packed crowd at the Lillian H. Smith Library on College Street in Toronto. We had some pretty exciting winners. A lot of fun at the presentations. Some of the winners were, like, Dale Eaglesham was the outstanding Canadian comic book artist for his work on Justice Society. Cecil Castellucci was the outstanding Canadian comic book writer for her work on the Plain Janes for DC's Minx line.
That line's still going?
Yeah, it's still going. Actually, it's going strong.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's actually pretty good. And James was a really good book. And the jury quite enjoyed it and recommended her for their work.
Okay, so, I will look at it. You have my word.
Outstanding Canadian comic book cartoonist, Jeff Lemire, for his two graphic novels, for Tales from the Farm and Ghost Stories.
I hate to interrupt you again. Cartoonist means just like illustration, or does cartoon?
Cartoonist means a person that writes and draws their own material.
So Rhea Piccolo, that's in The Star, who I've known for years, would count?
No, comic book.
Okay, so that's sorry, that's why I'm asking
novels,
here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jeff did two graphic novels last year. You know, some of his competitors included Darwin Cook for his work on The Spirit, Brian Lee O'Malley for the latest Scott Pilgrim offering, books like that.
So it's not just Canadian comic books, it's American comic books also.
What it is, these are the Canadian Comic Book Creator Awards. So
okay.
The individuals have to be Canadian, but the work could be published anywhere.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do they have to be born in Canada, or can they be Americans with Canadian citizenship?
They can be Americans who have settled here. As long as they are a citizen or a permanent resident, then they are okay.
So John Byrne counts?
John Byrne, he does count in that he lived in Canada for 22 years and produced a lot of comics.
Yeah, I know that.
And that's why he was one of the Hall of Fame inductees this year.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. But he does define himself now as an American.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So if I were to go by his current work, I think we consider it if the nominating committee feels that he qualifies.
That's fair.
We leave it up to them each year. If they feel for various reasons that John Byrne is an American for his new work, so you know maybe Star Trek Assignment Earth won't qualify.
Okay.
But we have included him in previous years. Some of the other winners were we had some fan favorite awards. Faith Erin Hicks from Halifax won for her work on Zombies Calling, favorite English publication creator. French publication creator went to Philip Girard for his graphic novel Danger Public. And the international comic book creator, as chosen by Canadian fans, is Ed Brubaker.
Who I love.
Oh, yeah. Captain America is a great read, and so is Iron Fist and Criminal.
I haven't read that big, thick omnibus. It just sits there and looks at me.
Well, you're in for a treat. You really should. And I'm hoping you'll review it in the future.
I'm going to. I bought it for a friend for Christmas, and I didn't buy one for myself. I knew he loaned it to me, and he's now officially loaned it to me about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
It's on my list of things to read. I will get to it, hopefully over the summer, I think.
Okay. Well, it is really good.
So, I haven't told us the most important thing about the evening.
What's that?
The food.
The food?
Didn't you go out for dinner?
Not really, no.
I thought it was catered or something you were telling me.
No, what we did was we had, before the awards presentation, and let me quickly run through some of the other award winners before I finish, but it was Adrana Quarterly is publisher, Dave McKeag from Vancouver is the colorist. I think that's it. Cover art by a Canadian artist went to Steve Scrooge. for his Doc Frankenstein cover, number 6.
Another one of my favorite artists. Always liked
really
his work.
Really talented. Anyway, during the day before the awards, we had a number of talks, and we had some artist signings, and we had an art exhibit with Superman art donated by Canadian comic book creators. And during that day, we actually had a girl that was making sandwiches for the guests. So that's where we ate. Basically, we ate sandwiches.
Okay, I thought there was an actual dinner or something for the award afterwards. My mistake.
There was cake afterwards.
Well, maybe that's what it's just, me and food.
Great
so
cake.
Could have been anything.
I think from Robert's Bakery up in Richmond Hill.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it was good.
Hope you saved me a piece.
No, I would have gone for more, but it was gone.
Wow.
It was consumed.
They must have left Bob in the room ahead of time.
I thought I saw a red blur.
Yeah, so did I.
Flash.
It was him.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Did you get a chance to see any movies during the weekend?
I did, actually. I saw an interesting movie yesterday on Monday night.
What would that be called?
The Incredible Hulk.
Really?
And I know you saw that one as well, right?
I did, actually. I think I beat you for the first time in a long time seeing a movie.
You saw it, what, Sunday?
I saw it Sunday afternoon.
You got a 24-hour jump.
It was my Father's Day treat to myself.
Father's Day, I forgot about that. I did celebrate Father's Day, though.
That's good to hear.
Not for me, because I'm not a father.
I know that.
With my actual father. But
well, that's nice of you.
So, what do you think, man?
I absolutely love this movie.
Yeah?
I had to go. I was going mixed reservations. I'm like, okay, not Ann Lee Hulk. Not Ann Lee Hulk. Starts off, I thought it was a little slow for the first hour. I was kind of like, okay, they're getting rid of the Ann Lee Hulk. That's what they're doing. And then, boom, I thought this movie just took off for me. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Thought the pacing was probably a little slow in the beginning for me. Mm-hmm. Liv Tyler and Jennifer Connelly, I thought were interchangeable for the most part. But
yeah.
But I just loved Norton. I thought he looked much more like Banner.
He was really good, and he really actually did put a lot of burnt Banner into that.
Which I was quite happy to see.
I was worried it was going to be Edward Norton more than Banner.
I kept thinking Fight Club in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's not Fight Club. This is Banner. Remember the comics way back when. Banner's emotionalizing. I thought it was John Byrne's Hulk, pretty much, they were looking at.
Really? To be honest, I found that in a lot of ways it was like a more comic bookized version of the TV show.
I could see that.
Where he was wandering and getting into adventures and stuff like that.
I could see that, too.
I like the whole countdown before incident.
I thought that was kind of cool, a nice little addition.
The Hulk, I'm afraid the Hulk still looks kind of fake.
Well, yeah, but he's a big, gigantic, 12-foot green guy?
Yeah.
So I had no issues with that, though. I expected him not to look right.
Yeah, and that, overall, I thought it was okay.
That's it? You didn't love it?
I liked it a lot. I liked aspects of it. I liked the Marvel Universe stuff that they put in there. Holy mackerel.
Wow, eh?
Yeah, I mean, when Tim Roth's character, Emil Blonsky, is brought in, he's given a formula that's been in storage since World War II that happened to be the same formula that made Captain America.
I thought that was cool, and I also thought it was really cool how they Lou Ferrigno's in it, and they drop him, and Stan Lee's in it. I thought
Stan
Lee was probably the best cameo they had. Actually, no, I think Iron Man, the Hugh Hefner one was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But I really liked that one, and I thought there was enough little bits for the fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being an ultimate fanboy of the Hulk, probably one of my favorite characters.
How about that final scene, man?
That was cool.
When that guy comes into the bar?
Yes. That guy, I think we, I don't know, I thought that was the best, yeah. We're putting the team together. I thought that was kind of cool. I stayed for the end credits, so there were no surprises, though.
No, me too.
I was pissed. I thought there'd be something else.
Yeah. But overall, quite good, and definitely goes a long way to bringing the Hulk into the actual Marvel movies that have been successful.
Did you like the Abomination? I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right. A little nod to the old style Abomination with the spikes on the back. But, I did enjoy it.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Was there anything else we missed? I think I picked up on most of the little things. The Stan Lee, the Lou Ferrigno.
No, not really. I mean,
I thought there was more little bits
than
Iron Man.
I like the fact that, when you're talking about a character like the Hulk, it's a very small world.
Absolutely.
And he goes from Guatemala to Mexico to BC.
That's the one part. Did you want to see how he gets over the border, or just assuming he had no problems?
We're just assuming that somehow he made it through, whether he turned into the Hulk and leaped. I don't know.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It was like, without his... that's the one reference I wanted to bring up, the purple pants reference.
That was great.
I thought that was the best of the movie.
Purple stretch pants.
What about these? I think I'll pass. I broke up in the movie theater. I don't think anybody else got that joke but me.
Probably not.
I thought that was a fantastic joke.
That was very good.
Did you like William Hurt as Thunderbolt?
You know what? I actually preferred the previous
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Was it Sam Elliott? I thought it was him.
Yeah, I thought was a better Thunderbolt.
So did I.
Yeah.
William Hurt seemed a little eh.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I don't think it worked for him.
So, you know, overall, I thought it was pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was
I would recommend it. The critics don't like it.
Some do, some don't. The guys that were placed, I always get the Roper and the new guy liked it.
Yeah, I don't know what his name is.
I can't remember. Some New York critic as
well. Isn't it Ebert and Roper, or is it now Roper and someone else?
Roper and someone else.
And how about Ebert? Is he sick?
He can't talk after a stroke. Okay. It was kind of upsetting.
Oh, well, so that... No reason to watch that anymore.
No. Well, we'll see what the new guys are like.
I used to respect Roger Ebert. Not that I have a problem with Richard Roper, but whatever. So, that, you know, two thumbs up, I guess.
Absolutely.
And our friend the intern there has not seen it yet.
No, he's still doing paperwork. He's busy. Looking for a mic, I think.
He's doing some research on it.
I think he still ate that cake you took.
Although there is a Toronto reference in there, when he's running down the street, you can see the Zanzibar Tavern in downtown Toronto.
The whole friggin' movie was shot in Toronto.
Hold on,
there are a lot of
Zanzibar. I'm never familiar with the Zanzibar. I'm quite surprised you are, though.
It's a bar.
Well, they run by Sam the Record Man.
I know.
25
yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. And the Evergreen Center with a certain comic book collector I used to hang out in front of it quite often.
Mm. Who's that?
No, it's a store called the Harry. Tarantula. And I think that might be a good lead into our next movie with Harold and Kumar.
Harold and Kumar, starring Leon.
Yeah, I think that's this Leon's whole movie.
It's the full title is Harold and Kumar
Escape Guantanamo Bay. Anyway, did you read why this movie was made? Because I actually did a little background reading.
What, you did the intern work?
Yes, I did, because he was eating cake again. They made this movie because it did so well on home video.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make any money in the theaters. Mm. Well, I hope this one can do the same. This was awful.
Yeah, you're right. It was pretty bad.
Like, the first one was kind of amusing. It had an actual story, kind of. Not a great story, but kind of. This had no story.
For a bottomless party.
Yeah, pretty much. Except for Dookie Howser. What do you think about Dookie Howser's sexual fetish? You don't like Brandy?
Oh, it's Brandy. I forgot about it. You know, I blocked this movie. it was not good.
I thought that Brandy was... I just thought this movie just kept going, uh-huh. Mm.
People in the theater just kept standing up and talking. I didn't really have a good time.
I thought they were leaving half the time, getting more popcorn, but they never seemed to come back. They must have gotten to the indie or something.
So I would have to say thumbs down for me for Harold and Kumar as
well. I'm still not done.
How about Bob? What did you think? Did you see it?
Bob never saw it.
Bob didn't see it either.
What did you think of the George Boy scene at the end? Like, what's the point of this?
Actually, it was kind of amusing.
You thought so?
Whatever.
Just put Paris Hilton there?
Well, you know what? They somehow had to have the whole treason charge removed.
Yeah, I know. So let's just throw George Bush in.
Yeah. Yeah, a little Bush doesn't hurt anybody.
Well, George isn't getting any recently.
Let's move on to the next film. Let's go back in time a little bit.
Okay.
What did you think of Leatherheads with George
Clooney? You know, I liked the football aspect. I thought it was really fun. Looking back, I presume during Clooney, this was probably the way football was played way back when. But I thought the outskirts storyline, the main storyline, I guess, or maybe football was supposed to be the main storyline. I couldn't quite figure out where they were going in this movie. Was awful. Who cared?
Well, I think the main storyline was the interaction between the three central characters.
Okay, it was brutal.
To show the birth of the NFL.
Right, but that war hero, I can't remember his name.
Right.
He was awful.
Yeah, I'd never seen this actor before, and I don't think I want to see him again.
And Renee Zellweger just disappoints over and over again.
I like Renee. She's cute. She has spunk.
She has spunk, but have we already seen this character?
She needs some spunk. No, sorry, she has one.
Is this not the same character as a movie we're going to discuss later?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Like, she is Moxie, that girl.
Yeah, Moxie. Like a girl with Moxie. Don't you like my hat? Oh, my God, just kill me.
Yeah, well, I didn't dislike this movie. It was cute.
No, I'm glad. Hey, Andrew, you seen something finally?
Actually, I did see this one. I enjoyed it. It was, like you said, it was a period piece, but about football. But I felt it wasn't a typical. Well, I was going to say a typical Clooney movie, but there doesn't seem to be a typical one. He usually picks good roles and runs with them, except for like say Batman and Robin, but and Solaris. But he picked. He did good Michael Clayton. Which was a good movie. Renee Zellweger, I found her annoying, but they did have good chemistry. I really enjoyed it.
Mine's are annoying.
I don't. Minority. It's all right. I like her.
I usually like her, but except for this one.
You're going on about George Clooney. He picks good roles. I think he's a great actor. Mm-hmm. Just not all the time they work out. Even a good German, I have issues with the movie, but he was fine.
No, I didn't see that one.
I wouldn't recommend seeing it to anybody. Mm-hmm. I just think he's okay. He's an excellent actor. I enjoy him in everything. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he just makes bad choices. And I thought this guy, whoever they played the other guy character, I can't remember, mm-hmm. being the whole war story that
okay.
they fell asleep.
Was, yeah, I think somebody they fell my bad pirate imitation.
Jonathan Pryce, yes, is in this movie.
Do a thing like that.
I don't know. He plays the guy's agent.
Let's
do In Honor of Leatherheads.
Yes. Oh, is that him?
Let's review.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate that movie.
Or, sorry, starring.
That's for another topic.
Who?
Who are your favorite stars from that movie?
Oh, yes. Down with Love.
And Down with Love, an older film with her and Ewan McGregor.
Are we in the DVD vault section already?
Yeah, we're just sort of jumping around this week.
I was just having some fun, are you?
Yeah, hold on. What was that noise? Is that the DVD vault?
I guess it is. No, I think the intern just got up.
I think that was his finger getting caught in the door. Ow!
Bob Smash.
Okay, Down with Love.
Down with Love.
Oh, were you down with love, Kevin?
Was I down with love? Well, I'm not really down with love in general, but I did like this movie. It was okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So you told me you own okay movies?
Yeah, you know what? It's directed by the guy that directed one of my favorite movies of all time, Bring It On.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's the same director as Bring It On?
Citizen Kane of Trinity.
I just thought this movie was flat. Beginning, middle, and end. Flat.
Well, Renee isn't flat. I mean, it wasn't flat.
Yeah, she is.
I don't know.
Even when she's in her bathing suit doing her little suntanning.
I thought it was okay.
I just feel it doesn't go anywhere. Just like, okay.
It had a kind of 60s charm.
I think that's what they were looking for.
Right.
It was there. I'll give them that. If that's what their goal was, they succeeded.
She had Moxie, though.
She did have Moxie. Intern?
Yeah, you were right. They were trying to go back to the 60s. And they even... When I was watching this movie, it took me back to, okay, you're gonna laugh at this one. The Rock Hudson, Doris Day type of movies. And they even brought in...
I didn't laugh.
They even rolled in Tony Randall, who's a connecting force in this movie between this battle, like, pillow-talk type
force.
Movies and this.
He's a connecting force?
He is a connecting force. May the force be with him.
Explain that one. How does he connect this movie?
He was in Pillow Talk with Doris Day and Rock Hudson. He was in a couple of movies with them.
Okay, but if we're connecting this movie, wouldn't it be David Hyde Pierce brings the whole movie together? No?
David Hyde Pierce wasn't in those movies.
Good.
Randall was.
He's bridging the generation gap.
I get exactly what he's doing, but does anybody care?
Well, Bob the intern does.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't know. I just thought this movie was kind of like, we're going to do
little
this.
Known fact.
Yes. That's he likes to bridge the gap.
You guys are going to laugh.
Okay.
We're laughing now, yes. You're right. Okay, any other little-known facts about Down with Love?
I have nothing else to say other than skip it.
Oh, he's got more.
Well, there's they have a lot of people in the movie, like okay, Dave, I hear she said. Jeri Ryan popped in. She was, I guess, on vacation from Star Trek Voyager. Florence Stanley from the Tish TV show.
Actually, maybe this was all a holodeck fantasy.
I think you're right. It probably was. Ivana Milosevic, who is in my favorite actor, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s movie, Down to You.
Enough of that. Let's move along.
All right, so...
there was a one-eyed pirate in the toilet. That was in an episode of Speed Racer.
So some of us were down with love, but not you.
No, not me.
Well, what about George's Three Kings?
Three Kings?
Yeah.
Oh, George's Three Kings was good.
Yeah.
For what it was.
Spike Jones.
That was a little early Clooney.
I guess so, yeah.
So he's not Clooney to me yet. He's kind of like just here. Mm. They're like, okay, this is a studio picture. We need you in this, so you got to go.
Oh, I thought this movie took some chances.
When?
Well, it's set in the first Iraq War.
Right. Where does it take a chance?
I don't know. I just thought it was edgy. It was well done.
I have no issues being well done. I thought it was a little long.
Yeah.
But I don't think it takes a chance.
Well, you know, like Michael Jackson.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's the big chance of bad Iraqi.
Pretty bad, badass dude.
But it was based on a true story I read afterwards at the end of which I didn't know while watching it.
Interesting.
But I don't think
it didn't like it.
It didn't take any chances. It kind of just followed the flow.
I thought it was well made.
It looked nice. I'll give it full credit. It looked nice. Again, not enough action for me. I actually, who is in this? Saturday Night Live and all this that's in this. I've forgotten her name.
Molly Shannon, maybe?
No, not Molly Shannon. Old, it doesn't matter. She shows up as a television reporter. Nora Dunn. Which I'm starting to recognize pops up more as another movie we'll get to maybe one day.
All right, let's move on.
Good, because I need to.
How about this modern classic, The Forbidden Kingdom?
Ha,
with Jet Li.
Yeah, this is crap. Awful.
And Jackie Chan.
What's Jackie doing? Could somebody help me? I love Jackie Chan. I've seen almost every Jackie Chan movie I can find. Mm-hmm. He used to make good movies.
So let's run through the premise.
Okay.
Kid gets a staff that transports him to the China that you'll see in ancient Chinese movies where they do stupid, they just defy gravity and jump around. And
exactly. And he's what, from like Harlem or something kind of idea?
Well, like the Bronx or something.
The Bronx or something, and finds this magical thing and transports him to an ancient time.
Yes.
Where the physics don't matter.
I thought this was a pretty lame film.
This whole movie, I'm like, didn't you guys learn? Like, Jet Li, I'm sitting there going, does this movie go anywhere? The acting was abysmal.
Well, I really enjoyed it when you turned to the monkey, blah, blah, whatever he was, warrior king or something.
Monkey King.
Monkey King, yes.
The Monkey King. I thought it was just awful.
Yeah.
This is it's time for Jackie to retire. Retire, Jackie.
Jackie could do comedic roles in supporting.
But I thought those Rush Hour movies skunked too.
Oh, I liked the Rush Hour films.
Three?
Well, three was no classic, but one was good.
Right, but it doesn't work in two. It doesn't work in
two
three.
Two was okay, actually. I like two as well.
Brett Ratner's two, isn't he?
He's all three.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
So he stunk third one up.
Brett Ratner probably he stinks up most movies he does.
Yeah, Forbidden Kingdom, what can we say? Skip it.
Well, hey, what about this Jet Li film? You dragged this one out of the video vault, Kiss of the Dragon.
I like this. I miss Bridget Fonda. I thought you feel a need, don't ever have to. I like this movie. It wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. Again, it wasn't great, though.
No, I vaguely remember the film a few years ago when I saw it.
Well, obviously, it's not missing anything. It's a simple guy comes over, they try to pin everything on him. Guy figures it out, saves the hooker's child, and the movie. Mm-hmm. That's a bit true. I like his acupuncture technique to put guys out and things. I thought that was kind of neat. I thought the action was really good when it happened.
Yeah.
I just found this movie dragged a lot.
It did. I agree.
It needed to move quicker. And everybody knew that old man was dying. Yeah. You just saw him. Oh, there goes that guy. Like... I think we need some movies. Jet Li needs to take a movie that takes some chances or has a good script.
I can't think of a single Jet Li movie that I've really liked.
Unleashed?
Never saw it.
Best Gently movie. Take Some Chances. I thought it was terrible. It was slow in the middle, but not bad. See you Unleashed.
That's a remake of a French movie, I think.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, but I did know. Well, I liked the French one, then. I thought Unleashed was an excellent film.
All right. So Kiss of the Dragon, you liked?
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. I say I liked it.
One of the better films from the Giant, from the Gently.
I would say so.
Whatever, catalog. All right, let's run through some other newer releases. So how about Run, Fat Boy, Run?
You know what? I had such promise for this movie, and then I saw David Schwimmer directed it.
Yeah,
I said, you know what? Simon Pegg's in it. I'm going to give it a shot. Uh-huh. Simon Pegg tries with this script. I mean, really tries to make act his way through it. Mm-hmm. But Thandel Newton is awful.
Oh, Thandie Newton.
Thandie, is that how you say her name? She's brutal. Why is she ever in a movie? Just off. I can see why. I've never heard of her before.
She was in Mission Impossible 2.
Okay, well, she's become nobody. She's life on the D-list. Like, she is brutal. Hank Azaria in any movie is usually bad. Because he just never gets better.
I disagree with that on that. Hank Azaria was good. He was entertaining in this movie.
You think so?
Yeah. But if let me say, unlike most Simon Pegg movies, which are unique and funny and charming, this one seemed to me like he was moving into, you know, generic family comedy style movies, where, you know, someone does a bad thing to him in the end and triumphs. But I did like it. I did like the film. I thought he was good, and I thought Hank Azaria was good. I have no real affinity for Thandie Newton. I mean, she was just a former wife or whatever. You know, I like it. But it bothered him.
I actually liked it once it got going. It was slow at first. I agree with you, Kevin, on the Hank Azaria thing. I thought he was great in The Birdcage, where he plays a really funny role as the butler manservant. He was in Herman Ted, Simpsons, Mad About You. I really enjoyed it. And he was in
Twister.
That too. Plus the Godzilla. He was in that.
That's no closer.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't put Godzilla on my resume if I were.
You didn't like Godzilla.
No, I didn't care for
that. I didn't mind it at all. Now let's get back to this movie.
Okay.
Now, did you wear pants during this movie?
Probably not.
You know what I'm talking about.
What do you mean?
His friend that doesn't wear pants whenever he's seeing a guy. He's on
Yeah.
He was my favorite guy. He was on the boat going, "Hey, ladies, no pants on." I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I'm glad this movie kind of wrapped up the way it is, but I really enjoyed the ending. Simon Pegg just keeps running and running and running. I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
I didn't enjoy it. I didn't mind it.
I'm enjoying this pizza, too.
Well, that's good to hear. You're having your dinner while we do our podcast tonight. Bob, what did you think of the end?
I enjoyed it. It's the end was good. It was there.
I guess we're all saying it's just okay.
Yeah.
Marginal thumbs up.
If you like Simon Pegg, you'll like the movie.
Absolutely.
But it's not Shaun of the Dead.
No.
And it's not that other one, the cop movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
I can't remember.
Hot
Fuzz. I like that one. That was funny.
With his buddy that looks like you.
Yes, that is. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
I think you were in that movie as the guy in the gorilla suit.
Yeah, that was me.
That was Peter Jackson, actually.
All right, well, let's look at our list, see what else we got here. How about Suburban Girl?
Suburban Girl? Never heard of it.
Suburban Girl.
Oh, you're playing word association, is that right? There's a reason why this movie never got released in theaters, I think.
It didn't get released in theaters?
No, right directed video.
Really, and it's got Buffy.
And Alec.
And Alec, and a little bit of May-December romance going on.
Yeah, and the blonde in it, somebody too, and I can't remember who it is. Her boss.
Oh, yeah, so I know she was kind of hot.
She was. But she has a career, and it's totally names forget. It doesn't matter. This is 2.5 hours. Really slow.
2.5 hours?
It's about two in the bed, yeah.
That's so fast.
Why is this movie made? Did somebody forget some script chopping or show some boob or something? Give me something to continue.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I thought it was okay.
You're on crack. What was okay?
As an old guy, I want to go out with young, attractive women. You know, and you know, why not? You know?
So you need to see a movie about that? Shouldn't you be picking them up?
No. This is like the equivalent of old man non-sex porn. I mean...
exactly, yeah. I mean, it's a porn scene.
Wish fulfillment.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I thought it was well acted, and she was good, and he was good, and it was about publishing, and you know, a little bit of like almost like a Sex in the City kind of vibe going on. And
I think it's working for that.
Yeah.
If this movie came out in the '80s, it would have been a huge hit.
Sure. Yeah.
But nowadays, it just doesn't work. I don't know. It fell flat in my face. I didn't like it at all.
And that could hurt.
Yeah, it could.
All right. Well, so thumbs down for Suburban Girl. And did Bob see this one?
No, he had a busy month of not watching a lot. I think he saw about two movies.
And he wonders why he's the intern.
Yeah, I wonder. No mic, no movies, no dog.
All right. How about, now here's one that Bob has seen that I haven't.
Okay.
And it's Music and Lyrics with...
yeah, this was a bomb addition to the list because he wanted to hear my opinion on this. This movie drove me... raid my liquor cabinet. I'm sitting here watching Drew Barrymore do another drippy romantic comedy. Drippy is the best way I can describe them because she plays a drip character. Hugh Grant is a writer. He used to be like Wham. He's kind of in this Wham band. And the band breaks up. And he gets into a rut, you know, and somebody, 80s star calls him, no, new star, like a Britney Spears, calls him and goes, I'm looking for some new stuff or something, and he submits a song, and she likes it. So he has to work on it. And it turns out that Drew Barrymore is his plant-washing lady or something. Who cares? And then the romance starts from there. And, of course, he screws up at some point, and then she goes to see him in concert, and then he writes a song that makes her come back to him. Oh, my God. Talk about 80s schlock formula. And it just gets painful as this movie goes. I'm just like, why am I watching this? Like, my liquor cabinet is getting empty as I watch half another beer going, this ain't getting better. Bob?
Yes? Well, you make us watch movies. I made you watch this one. I thought it was a fun movie myself. Hugh and Drew, I thought had surprisingly little chemistry. They worked well. It was an escape movie, a feel good movie, very enjoyable. And you're right, he played a pop music singer from the '80s who meets the new singer, a la Britney Spears type. He's bad with lyrics, so Drew's character helps him write them. It's a departure from the usual Drew movie lately, where she kicks butt, a la whoever they are.
Hold on a second. You're talking about departure? Did you not see Lucky You? When she plays another drippy character? Ooh, that's two in a row, Drew. Keep going.
Shall we make it three with Feet of Her Pitch? I forgot about that one.
Exactly. Drew Barrymore's rut. They stink. Stop. Please save me. And don't get me started about watching Charlie's Angels.
That's it. Charlie's Angels. That's what I was thinking. However, there was two people that showed up in the movie. I wasn't expecting this one. Third Rock from the Sun, Kristen Johnson plays Drew's sister. I didn't recognize her first, but then I recognized her after. And Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond and the Pacifier.
How could they not use Kristen Johnson more? I really like her as an actress. It upsets me she doesn't get more movies. She's actually funny. Tall and funny. Maybe that's the problem. Jenna Elfman syndrome. Too tall. Can't act. I don't know. What's next? I'm skipping it. I can't talk about this crap anymore.
Well, how about one for the kiddies here? How about Golden Compass?
You know what? I read such hype about this movie. I was looking forward to this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't think I understood it.
I watched it. And I must say, my focus wasn't there because I think I was concentrating on something else at the time. And, I don't know. I didn't really care for the concept. They've discovered that the multiverse exists, right?
Yeah, I got that impression.
And they want to go to another dimension, or I guess her father does. But everybody in this world has an animal spirit, which they call a demon. which accompanies them everywhere and takes the form of an animal. And it's some kind of magical creature. It's just very weird movie.
That wasn't my issue. My issue is they kind of... Craig disappears early.
Yeah.
And then she gets caught. We find out Nicole Kidman's a bad person, really her mother, I think.
Yeah. Still hot.
No issues with that. And then she runs away, meets this polar bear, saves all the kids, movie over. Okay. Was there a story here? Because I must have missed it.
Well, I mean, it's part of a series of books, right?
I realize that, but there should have been more story.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was a very interesting design, but I don't think there was heart there. Something was missing.
I absolutely agree.
Did you see that one?
No, I didn't see this one.
No.
Next.
Is there anything you have?
Oh, don't get me started. I went back to the AMC to see Hulk. Mm-hmm. Still no ketchup. I don't think it's coming back.
Yeah. All right. I can live with it not having to smell that smell again.
And no sour cream and onion either.
Well, I went to the movie the other night and I had white cheddar on mine.
I had to have white cheddar. It was no option. And it cost me $7.95 for large popcorn.
Well, we're almost through our list here of things that we've all seen, or most of us have seen. How about a little trip to the video vault?
Okay.
And The Lady from Shanghai, directed by Orson Welles.
Did he have directed this?
Yeah.
I did not realize. Do you want to go first, Kev?
No, you know what? It's been a while since I've seen this. You guys have recently seen this, so I want to get your...
Okay. I put this in because... I like Orson Welles as an actor. I haven't seen a lot of his films. I promised myself it's one of those things I was going to do, to watch more films. So I took this off Boyd Buster's shelf, put it on. First hour, I could have had a nap. I was going, crawling out of my skin, going, I don't get this. Wow, Rita Hayworth looks really hot. I still don't understand what this movie's going. Wow, she is really hot.
She's smoking.
And then it gets to the end. And I finally started understanding what is going on. They're all chasing him, and he murdered this guy, murdered that guy. And it all, they explain the whole plot. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, great, it's almost over. And then I'm like, how are they going to end this movie? I really don't see an end to it. Because Orson Welles gets off, so I was kind of confused in the court.
If I recall, the infamous ending is in
there. I'm getting there.
Yeah, all right.
And then they go to the carnival, and then they start doing these carnivals. I'm like, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of woke up, I thought, at the end of the movie. It's like, wow. And then they have these big mirrors all around them. They do the shooting scene. I'm like, wow, that is why people like this movie. Mm-hmm. That ending was amazing. Mm-hmm. Could not see it coming. What a nice bit of showmanship or directing or whatever. Yeah. I really, really like the end of this. Mm-hmm. So I have to recommend this movie, even though I didn't like the storyline. That was really slow for the last half an hour, but loved the ending.
I love the movie as a whole, although I agree with you, the first three quarters of the movie is really slow, but the ending, as you said, with the mirrors, that was great. Orson Welles directed and starred, and he was actually married to the Rita Hayworth in real life. But it was a very slow movie at first. Camera angles were really good. When the characters were speaking in confidence, he's really good at his camera angles. I really liked it.
Well,
altogether.
Let me dig into my background, because I'm a huge fan of Orson Welles, and I've studied his career, read books about him, and so on. Now, this was Orson's last real major Hollywood picture. It was after he made Lady from Shanghai that the Hollywood establishment pretty much closed the doors on his career as a director. And he would then find refuge in Europe, making independent films, most of which he never finished, but a few of them he did, like Othello and The Trial and so on. But basically, his marriage was starting to fall apart with Rita, and they decided that they would make this film together. And this film is sort of an expression of their mutual attraction and revulsion as their marriage starts to fall apart. So there's a little bit of an edge to that.
Yeah, that explains a bit in the movie. I get it now.
And the one big thing that was controversial about this film was that Rita had this beautiful, long, brunette hair. And she chopped it all off and went platinum blonde. And that really threw off a lot of people. So, you know, that was like a big deal at the time. That would be like if some modern actress who was famous for her long blonde, like, let's say Nicole Kidman, were to suddenly chop off all her hair and go platinum blonde and do Madonna look for the rest of her career. You know, people would be like, whoa, well, that's kind of an odd choice, you know, different. Orson, of course, is the master of camera angles and dialogue and trying to get emotion out of his actors. I don't think he was particularly interested in the plot when he was making the film. He wanted to get between scenes. His focus seemed to be more on scene work as opposed to a coherent film as a whole. And the funhouse sequence is infamous. And I think there are scenes from that were shot that were never actually in the final print of the film. Because the studio execs butchered it. And that was the other thing, is that with most Welles films, the studio stepped in and said, this is too arty, or people won't like this, they won't appreciate it. You know, here we are 50 years later, and we love it, but, you know, or 60 years. But at that time, you know, they were not really happy with it, and they butchered the majority of the film. The only film that Welles, I should say, really had final cut on was Citizen Kane. The rest were edited or were messed with. I mean, Hollywood Pictures. His independent stuff was. And if you guys want to wake up now.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, I'm pretty much.
I was waiting for another cap swill. Okay, for 10, 15 minutes again.
I was actually interested because I was following this movie and I actually watched the extras.
Extras? What are those?
I know, Simon doesn't watch the extras on DVDs.
So, that was 88 minutes ago.
I skipped that over, right? You know what? I like 88 Minutes.
I tried to like it. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was a little predictable.
So, this movie was shelved for a little while, right?
I think it had to be.
Now, Al Pacino is an investigator, right?
Yes, absolutely.
No, he's a lawyer.
He's an investigator.
Okay.
I can't remember. I saw this First of Us, so I can't really remember. It's a long time ago.
And he helped, and he's a teacher, right? He also teaches at the university.
Yeah, that I remember.
And he put this guy in jail for killing people. And it seems that either there's a copycat killer out there, or he was wrong.
That's right.
So he has 88 minutes to catch the, just to figure this out, or he'll die. And that's where the fun starts.
I don't know. I thought this was just a straight Hollywood movie, though. It did, again, I don't think it took many chances. I mean, I think it was just another bad movie choice for Lily Sobieski. Maybe this is the only work she can get. After In the Name of the King to this, I think she's having a pretty bad year. And Alicia Wynn, again, is one of those actors I always think is going to make it big and just never seems to even get on the B list.
Who's that?
The redhead is a secret? No, not a secret.
Is that Alicia Witt?
Alicia Witt? Yeah, that's her. The redhead.
Yeah,
she's good. She's always good. I like her in Sopranos. I enjoy her when I see her, but she doesn't seem to ever make it on a B-list anywhere.
No.
I just don't get why.
And Ryan from the OC was in it.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I'd never seen an episode of the OC.
And what's her name from Crash?
Yeah, she's in it. Deborah Kerr
Hunger. Look back with Kara Hunger.
So I guess in the end, I just say it's an okay movie for what it is. It's not great.
You know the guy, the killer?
Yes.
In jail?
Yes.
Captain America.
That is. He would be perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Strikes me as Neil McDonough. Strikes me as being the perfect choice for Captain America because he has this kind of a piercing blue-eyed gaze.
Oh, you don't think it should be Dolph Lundgren?
No, not Dolph. Dolph Lundgren's an old man now, isn't he?
Pardon?
Dolph's a lot older. He's an old man now.
Hey, Andrew, have you seen this one?
I did. I actually enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it? I did. Anyway.
You thought it was boring.
Oh, how could you think it was boring? I thought it was one of the best Al Pacino movies I've seen.
Well, he hates everything.
mm-hmm. It was I thought it was a surprise role for Lily Sobieski. She did a really good job. I would have never thought she would have taken that kind of role. Really good suspense movie with a surprise.
Obviously, you didn't see In the Name of the King.
No, I never saw that one. I did, however, see The Glass House that she was in, and never freaked kiss, so it's... She jumps from type of role to type of role, and she was... This is her first role in a while because she's been at university, so maybe she's got a little bit of rough.
She's been at university, so that, maybe that's where she went. Maybe that's where she... The mighty power of university debt. Maybe that's where she did The Name of the King. Now we know.
All right, Simon.
Yes, Kevin.
We've pretty much run through our list of movies.
No, we haven't.
What else?
Well, I got one. Spiderwick.
Well, I haven't seen that one.
Okay, but I think the intern did.
Oh, okay, you and the intern did.
We have a few I want to discuss with the intern that you decided not to watch.
All right, go for it.
Okay, again, Spiderwick. They have a book. Follow the book. Like, I don't get it. They have a book. Use a plot. Guy shows up. Guy gets a thing. Blah, blah, blah. Boring. Again, disappointed. Like Golden Compass. Intern, go.
All I can say, it was very slow moving. I had to try three times to watch this, and I just found it very slow.
It was crap. Okay, next movie. Got to get these done quickly. Brothers 3. Oh, my God. This was painful. This had to be one of the most painful DVD releases, and I need to shoot somebody at Blockbuster next time I go. All right, I need a new movie to watch. I have this coupon. Sir, this one's got a lot of action in it. The only action this movie had was people opening a bear continuously. Oh, my God, just kill me.
Oh, kill you? It's a very slow-moving and depressing movie, even in the supposed funny parts. You got John Hurd from Home Alone, Selena Stevens flashback. You actually have Neil McDonough from 88 Minutes that was in this movie as well.
He is. And he put, oh, yeah, Neil McDonough did really well from 88 Minutes to Brothers 3.
Uh-huh. And then you've got the other two, who I've never even heard of, so forget that.
Isn't one of the guys of Desperate Housewives?
It could be, but...
I think that was him. You want to go to the last one?
Sure, what's the last one?
Doomsday. Oh, my God. I'm sitting there watching Doomsday going, why is this movie? I love zombies. Okay, I'll give it a shot. Oh, wow, it's going to be Resident Evil. Oh, my God, it is Resident Evil. No, it's not going to be Resident Evil. It's going to be Resident Evil with the Road Warrior twist at the end of the movie. I don't believe this, Kevin or Bob, whoever's watching this movie. I'm like, they ripped off the Road Warrior. The chick drives down with the car. Yuli's around. The guy with the, a bunch of cars start chasing her. What the hell? I saw this in Road Warrior. Same movie.
Yeah. Who recommended this movie to you? Because I fell asleep twice.
I read a review. I like zombie movies.
Okay. Because it's been done. Andromeda Strain. Virus. And as you said, there's a reference to the Road Warrior.
There's nothing new in this movie at all.
Did Malcolm McDowell have nothing better to do at the time?
Nothing at all.
How about Bob Hoskins and Ronan Keating?
Nothing at all. There for the paycheck.
How about Alexander Siddig from Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
Did somebody just mention Star Trek?
I'm afraid I did.
Well, maybe we should mention our last movie of the evening so we're finally getting through this big pile we've had and sitting here for a while. Untraceable. Could they have lost this movie for me? What painful crap am I sitting through? This is awful. Diane Lane is a computer programmer, and they start seeing people getting killed on the computer. Who cares? Absolutely awful.
I cared so much I couldn't watch it.
It's just another bad, boring movie.
Really bad.
But that's it. I've had enough bad movies.
Hey, what? No, you haven't.
No, I haven't.
Southland Tales.
No, you promised me we'd not. Hold on. We have to back up for 1 second.
I'm afraid in Untraceable I have to say something. The old Big Brother story is coming true in this.
You didn't see it.
Oh, I saw this one.
Oh, okay.
I saw it. Diane Lane character works for the crime division. They're sort of proving that technology is too much, makes our lives easier, but maybe not. You're being watched. As I watched more of this movie, and I thought, there's a theme in here. Like OnStar, the vehicle knows where you are. The FBI can trace you.
Yeah. Okay, you want to discuss Southland Tales?
What?
So are we discussing Southland Tales?
Sorry, I fell asleep there in the last bit there with the untraceable.
Does Sharon Michelle Gellar still have a career?
Not after the movies we reviewed tonight.
Like Suburban Girl and Southland Tales.
She's really good when she's hanging out
Where's Gooby and Shaggy?
Southland Tales. Kevin, why did you make me watch this? Tell me why. You made me watch The Rock? Nora Dunn playing a lesbian?
I love Donnie Darko. What a great movie. What an interesting concept of time and well directed. And this guy who directed that movie has made his next movie, Southland Tales. There was a graphic novel attached to it. I would friggin' read this if my life depended on
it. You're going to be if you make me watch this movie.
This was, hands down, the worst movie I have ever seen.
2 hours and 35 minutes of my life. Oh. You owe me.
You know, hey, all right, I'll say it's pretty close to Highlander 2.
Oh.
It's pretty bad. Really, really, really slow, bizarre, uninteresting.
Come on, had that guy in a billion movies, that character guy that's from the, working for the government, the crazy guy from the government, I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was awful. Did your movie make any sense?
Yeah, it's about the end of the world.
Oh, is that? Okay, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted the movie to end earlier. Yeah. The Rock's just wandering around.
Meanwhile, Southern Smurf. Stifler has encountered his twin brother.
Yes. Oh, that was retarded.
Stifler.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Stifler being his twin brother.
It turns out that one went through a time warp and ended up here in the future. And if they touch, the world explodes.
And it did.
Thank friggin' God.
This was awful.
And that world deserved to die.
Awful, awful. I'm done. I can't even discuss this. It was so bad.
What an awful
Okay, it's been a pretty big list of comics this month, though.
Yeah.
So, I've been reading Secret Invasion. You know me and catching up my comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We ran through some of the facts of Secret Invasion.
You talked about 25 minutes about it, I think.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
What do you want? You read it. What did you read?
I read 1, 2, and 3.
Wow, okay.
See, I'm really caught up. When did that happen?
I know.
Is there a point to this book?
Yeah, the Skrulls invaded.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Like, am I missing a plot?
They replaced. You know what? Here's the problem with this book. You have to read New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, and other titles to know what's going on.
So, in other words, I should just stop buying this now.
You should be reading Mighty Avengers and New Avengers.
I don't buy a lot of books.
And then there was a one-shot that just came out last week, which details what happens with Captain Marvel, what happens with the Beast and Wonder Man, a few other characters.
So, basically, I'm going to be lost this whole series.
Well, the basic premise is that at some point in the past, Skrulls invaded Earth.
I know the premise.
We replaced our heroes with Skrulls.
We went through this.
We don't know who was a Skrull and who was not.
Do we care? By issue 3?
I kind of care, but, you know, it's Bendis. It's talking heads and slow movement.
Yeah, I kind of got that.
So.
Okay, well then I decided, after I read those two issues, I'll try something different.
Uh-oh.
Final Crisis.
When it made Secret Invasion seem like Shakespeare.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What was the point of Final Crisis, Kev?
I wish I could tell you. It's Morrison, forgive my language here, playing with something.
Ooh, it's Metron. Let's give Anthro fire and knowledge. Okay. And let's put a bunch of characters in. I don't really know who they are. Some guy in the garbage is all worried about it.
Yeah, you know, when you pick up the major DC crossover, you want to read about the adventures of Terrible Turpin.
Who is this person?
In Kirby's New Gods, Terrible Turpin was this policeman. He was like a battling, hard-nosed, cigar-chopping version of Kirby.
Uh-huh.
Who, you know, and in the Superman cartoons, the Paul Dini...
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Turpin was one
Kirby.
Of the cops.
Yeah, I know that. So basically, I should just skip this issue, too.
Oh, well, you know what? So Turpin finds Orion of the New Gods dead.
I got that. I knew who Orion was.
And then from there, you know, Darkseid is now a big black guy who works in a club. And
yeah, I was like, what was that about? Like,
it's just... Oh, wank job. You know, like, Grant Morrison, I don't particularly care for the majority of Grant Morrison's work. I find he's too indulgent.
Right.
And he doesn't give a shit about it. Excuse me. He doesn't give a hoot about continuity or any of that stuff. And he's recently been called to task for that. You know,
good.
Why doesn't Final Crisis adhere to DC continuity. It's the crossover event of the summer.
It's crossover boredom of the summer so far.
Exactly. And really, it's pathetic. And you know what? They're getting a lot of flack because Final Crisis, number one, sold less than Secret Invasion, number two.
Good, because it was awful.
Yeah.
Well, the lead-in was what, that one of those 52 every day buy a book.
Here's the thing, right? 52 led it to Countdown. Right. Countdown became Countdown to Final Crisis.
Right.
It was a weekly book. Grant Morrison was writing Final Crisis when they started to put together Countdown. So the writers at DC have been doing different things than what he planned to do in Final Crisis. Things that directly contradict. Like, they hired Jim Starlin to kill the New Gods. Okay, so having New Gods die in the pages of Final Crisis isn't really original or that interesting.
That's right.
So, you know, somebody at editorial there, you know what, I love Dan DiDio. Great guy, smart guy, coming to the Fan Expo, you know, but, you know, somebody under you and your staff is not following continuity. And, you know, as much as Joe Quesada and other guys may slag continuity and whatever, you have to have some kind of continuity in a universe, shared universe concept.
Or I agree.
It's blown to hell. I mean, who cares?
I agree. You have no issues with me. I hated it. So, we only have one more thing I want to discuss.
Wait for the trade is what I'd say.
50th issue. Of Invincible.
I'm Invincible.
But
right.
I do have one question for you, Rand, for another 10 minutes.
Okay.
Ryan Ottley wasn't the original artist, I just found out.
No. Corey Walker was the original artist of Invincible.
What happened to him?
Corey couldn't do the monthly book. So he's still involved. He's a friend of Kirkman's. He does some of the design work for characters. And occasionally he does work for other titles. Like he worked on Marvel Team-Up with Kirkman.
So how is the 50th issue, Kevin?
Well, all right, it's been the big build-up for quite a while as to what's going to happen in issue 50. And two plot points get resolved. Okay, one is that Invincible was working for Cecil Stedman in the U.S. government, who also ordered his father around. Now, Cecil has been behind Invincible's back recruiting some of the villains that he's defeated to work for him, like creating Animen from deceased and dying individuals, and another fellow who took control of his city and killed villains for even the slightest offense, like jaywalking. Now, these guys are full-fledged members of Cecil's team, and Invincible doesn't like it. So he tries to take them on, and there's a big fight, and it turns out the earpiece in Invincible's head is actually rigged with a sonic device that causes him pain, throws off his equilibrium. So they battle across the globe, and in the end they have some kind of a truce where they decide to leave each other alone, which I thought was kind of lame. And
wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an Invincible
not the greatest of issues.
Hold on a second. Didn't you just buy pages from this issue?
No, I don't have any pages from issue 50. All I have put in a request for the last page.
Uh-huh, so it couldn't have been that lame.
No, it's pretty lame. Not the greatest.
But you like the art.
I love Invincible. Great art. I love Kirkman. But, you know, something about issue 50 doesn't work that well. And then the conclusion of the main tale is that Adam, Eve, and Invincible hook up. And they decide they're going to go out.
Okay, our last thing for the evening, an article came out discussing the new A-list.
Right.
Did you guys have time to read the article?
No, I didn't really read the article, no.
Well, somebody would hand me my article, I'll tell you. What do we think about Shia LaBeouf being on this list, and being the new A-list to come out?
Scary thought, but he wasn't too big blockbuster.
I think he has a shot. I think he definitely has a shot. I mean, he hasn't disappointed me yet.
I just, Transformers, I just didn't care for. And I don't think he really was the driving force for Transformers. Giant robots for the interest on the way.
I have to agree with you. Well, I thought you did a pretty good job in Indiana Jones, though.
Yeah, but you know what, again, what's the driving force in Indiana Jones? Could it possibly be Indiana Jones?
That's right, but I think he's picking good choices, though, to get to that list.
Well, I think what's happening is good people want him in their movies.
Right, so they see something we see.
You might see, and I don't.
Well, no, I'm going to give a chance. Next on the list I was reading is Amy Adams, which we have discussed. I think she's going to be there.
Yeah, I enjoyed Enchanted. She was good.
Yeah, Enchanted. She's got that Oscar role. She's in Charlie Wilson's War.
Right.
Her last movie didn't do that well. Mrs. Pettigrew Lives for a Day. I think it only made less than $15 million, so I'll have to do that. She's also in Talladega Nights. She's in Junebug. I mean, she does do a lot of roles. I think, again, she's solid B. Next on the list they have is Seth Rogen, which I definitely think is going to make it. Because if Adam Sandler has a career, there's no doubt about it that he can have a career.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he has a career, but, Seth Rogen is slowly becoming the new Adam Sandler.
Yeah, funnier, too, I think. Now, what really bugs me, whenever I read lists or anything, Ellen Page, that great Canadian actress. Okay, she made one movie.
Two movies.
Okay, she's in X-Men. Like, who cares about Kitty Pryde and X-Men? Like, she's there. But come on, give me a break.
Juno, I like that movie, eh?
Yeah, I like, and now she's going to be an A-list star? I don't think so. And next on the list, which really confused me, is Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, this new kid on the scene.
Like, I'm kind of like, what? He's 43 years old.
Well, you know what? Iron Man was so great.
So he's back on it? Like,
he's like top of the charts, man. Everybody loves Robert Downey Jr.
Again.
Yeah, I mean, he was
5 years ago, he couldn't get a movie anywhere. Now he's back in.
Oh, yeah. I saw a preview for Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. No, they didn't have that at my theater.
Oh, okay.
They didn't even have Batman preview.
Plays an Australian actor who dyes himself black.
Back. Tom Cruise is in that movie, too.
Is he in it?
He is in it.
Oh, okay.
And Katherine Heigl is next on the list. Again, like, who are these people?
Katherine Heigl,
like, come on. That's it. She's made one. They're like, wow, she was in Knocked Up. I get it. I'm like, she's in Grey's Anatomy. But again,
I love her.
We'll have to see.
She's awesome.
But the one person I think is really good at there's James McAvoy. He seems to be in every movie I've seen the last 3 years.
He's pretty talented.
I think he's an excellent actor.
He was in, what was he in recently that we saw him? Atonement? Yeah, that's too bad.
He's going to be in Wanted next.
So he's in Penelope.
Yes, he's in Penelope. So I'm going to continue on because I want to wrap this up before we go way over time. Anne Hathaway. She had her chance.
Anne Hathaway, get smart.
Who cares?
I don't know.
Again, I couldn't care less.
She's so cute, too.
I don't. She is not.
Anne Hathaway is gorgeous.
Oh, get over yourself.
Get over myself. I'll get over herself.
Oh. Okay, next on their list is Michael Cera.
Who?
And Superbad.
What, the homosexual kid?
Yes, that's him. That's exactly him.
Michael Cera. He's a Canadian actor, too, isn't he? He was in Arrested Development.
That's the only one I disagree with being on the list.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous.
Just as long as the fat guy from Superbad isn't on that list.
He cannot act to save his life.
He's terrible.
You haven't seen, I know you guys will get this to a later show, Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yeah, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
You guys haven't seen, I have, he's in that movie. I want to punch him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of everything. He drives me nuts. You're awful. Stop acting. Yeah. Go get a job at KFC. Toys R Us. Something. Not acting.
He was in that classic Semi-Pro.
Again, he's horrible. Just a bad, bad actor. And also on the list, they have actors on the wait list. Names like Columbus Short. Who? Mm-hmm. Danny McBride. Who? And they're pushing Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson.
Like, okay, she was in Dreamgirls. It's a singing movie. She can sing. She didn't act that well. And then Channing Tatum, and the last name, actually, I do agree, but it should be moving up to the A-list, is Jim Sturgis, who I really like. Who I think has a chance, for a solid B career at least.
Jim Sturgis, what's he done?
21, and what did we see him in? We reviewed it. Across the Universe. Intern Rooney, he's going to bike. Well, that's it for this week. I've got to go to bed. It's too late. I don't know how you guys stay up this late.
I am exhausted.
Good night. I'm Simon.
Intern Bob.